The following is an off to the races interview between host Frank Vespi and Parks Racing track announcer Jessica Paquette.
What are you looking forward to on Saturday's big Pennsylvania Derby card?
I'm looking forward to a little bit of everything. The racing office did a fantastic job making a card that is start to finish extremely competitive, big field, interesting races. And of course, we have some of the best horses in the country coming in for the stakes races. We also have some really interesting local horses. So I think it's a great balance of highlighting the local product and also celebrating some of the best horses in the country.
You got a whole bunch of two-year-old races, including those PA-bred, PA-sired two-year-old stakes. It's going to be sort of fun to see if, maybe a star is going to be born somewhere on the early portion of the card.
Well, I'm a big believer in the importance of a state-bred breeding program, and I think the Pennsylvania breeding program is one that continues to grow. Great horses can come from anywhere, and hope springs eternal for the first-time starter or a young horse. You never know where the next great one's going to come from.
No, for sure. I was talking with your friend Jason Bean, the track announcer at Colonial, a couple of weeks ago, and he said that to him the ideal was sort of 9 horses in a race, because that's the amount where, like, you can get through it without rushing, but at the same time, you don't have to kind of fill space. And most of this card, you'd kill to get down to 9 horses, wouldn't you?
You know, you have to say those 14 horse fields of 2-year-olds, it's a little intimidating. I'm kind of right with Jason in a lot of ways, but to me, I think the perfect field size is like, 8 to 10, somewhere in that line. Anything more, kind of especially if they're sprinting, and I'm still kind of finding my way in all of this for sure. But you do feel a little rushed to get through all of them. And sometimes if you're at the back of the pack, you can't see everything that's happening at one time. So if you're at the back of the pack with 12 or 14 of them, by the time you get to the front, things have changed.
For sure. And of course, everybody knows that, if you're missing the horse up front making a move, everybody's seeing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll be quick to comment, like they could have done better, too.
Now, one of the things I think is an interesting angle, if we're able to stay on the turf, although not entirely, fillies are going to be the story here, I think. The Cotillion is a super compelling race, I think more compelling than the Derby. And then fillies are going to be the favorites if we're on the turf and the Turf Monster. So is that one of the things you're kind of interested to see?
Well, the Cotillion is just a star-studded race in so many ways. I'm so excited that is going to be the race that is my first grade one. I'll remember that winner forever. The Turf Monster, to me, just came up wildly competitive. Of course, I'm hoping we stay on turf, and I'm an optimist or an idiot, depending on the day. So I'm kind of still focusing on these races like, it's going to be sunny in 75. I mean, the horse that I have to imagine you're kind of excited about too, with our mid-Atlantic, where our heart is Determined Kingdom for Phil Schoenthal. For me to call a horse that I got to talk about at Colonial for the past couple of years, and that I got to see develop from like such a nice youngster into a really good older horse, that's one that just kind of tugs at my heart a little bit.
Yeah, that's fun. And then of course you got a PA bred in Roses for Deborah. We're going to have a story on her on theracingbiz.com, but that's some local angles there. You have a little fun with the local
absolutely.
Angles.
Absolutely. There are a lot of local angles and some really neat horses.
So, just between you and me, who's going to win the Derby?
That's a great question, isn't it? So, yeah, just between you and I, not anyone else listening. So tune out at this moment.
Exactly.
I'm trying to be a little bit clever with Magic Tap, who I think may get a little overlooked. To me, this one's like that quintessential second half of the year Steve Asmussen horse that he's let develop at his own pace. And I think this one might wind up being a little bit more rateable than some of the speedballs in this race. So if he can maybe take off just off of what could be a really hot pace, he'll be in a good position. Also, you have to think, like, he's never really tried a true sloppy track. Tap it out of a Ghost Dapper mare, you just have to think this one's going to love a wet track.
Yeah, yeah, no, certainly the Tomlinson says that he should, and it's an interesting race. You got, this feels like a good race to take a stand against the favorite here, reincarnate the morning line favorite, although Saudi Crown probably actually ends up the favorite here, but I don't know. Saudi Crown's lost his last couple, finds ways to get beat.
I don't know. I'm not necessarily willing to write him off as the kind of horse that finds a way to lose just yet. I mean, those were two very narrow defeats where he didn't really do anything wrong. I don't think he's one that hangs or anything. I think he's just kind of still figuring it all out. Reincarnate, I'm kind of leaving off my tickets entirely, to be honest.
Yeah, I that seems reasonable to me. So we were just talking about the Cotillion. What an interesting race. You got Pretty Mischievous, who never loses. You got Defining Purpose, who won the Ashland. You've got a couple of horses kind of moving in the right direction, like Occult. Which way are you going in the Cotillion?
So I think Pretty Mischievous is very formidable here. One interesting thing about her is that I've noticed kind of this second half of the year, sometimes with fillies that have had a pretty full, hard campaign. And to be fair, she's danced every dance that they've asked of her. Sometimes you see by this time of the year, the fillies especially kind of start to wilt a little bit and drop conditioning. When she came off the van yesterday, I think it's the best she's looked all year. She looks so full, like she's had really grown into herself. To me, I think she might just be a cut above. However, you know, if the morning line is anything close to what we get, 12-1 on Foggy Night is an absolute gift. This filly has shown she can run with the big girls, and she has home track advantage, and she's one that's just kind of a little racehorse. Shows up every time.
Yeah, I mean, she was second in the Monmouth Oaks, not her best effort. Other than that, she loves parks, and she's taken her show on the road a couple times. And no, I agree with you. I think she's an interesting play. Florence Giroux going to be up for Butch Reed. Talking with Jessica Paquette here, track announcer at Parks Racing, Pennsylvania Derby, coming up Saturday afternoon. Talk about how, as a track announcer, Jess, how do you prepare for a day like this? Is this just any other day in track announcer world, or do you need to do different things?
So for me, and again, this is kind of all new. These are uncharted waters for me, but I did get a little bit of batting practice with Smarty Jones Day. It was my first graded stakes race, and I don't mean to sound dismissive if I say that it's just another day, but my preparations are kind of the same. I think if you start doing things differently or doing things weird, it is still a race. I mean, the horses do not know it's a grade one. The race call, I will try to rise to the occasion, but I also want to rise to the occasion of like a bottom non-winners of two lifetime as well. So you kind of prepare the same and try to tell the story.
What kinds of stuff do you do? Like, how do you handle, you know, memorizing all the horses, knowing the silks, knowing which horse is which horse? So what kinds of things do you do to make sure all of that is in your head?
So that was when I first started. There was a lot of trial and error for me kind of finding the way of memorization and the way of preparing that actually worked for my brain. You can get so much advice from people who have done this before, but you still have to find the method that works for you. And two years ago, kind of almost to the day, I had a really serious riding accident and had a pretty, along with breaking my back, I had a bit of a brain injury as well. So there was some, you know, I've had to learn kind of ways to make my brain function in the way that it needs to do this job. And like any muscle, the more you use it, the better it gets. But for me, I have found that a couple of days before, I print out my program the way I like it. I color the silks. And then as the horses are in the post parade, I add in if they're wearing blinkers, like with the corresponding color, if they have a bright bridle, which is funny because in my previous incarnations, like a Paticoast, I would think like a neon bridle was the tackiest thing in the world. Like, ew, right? Like, bro, now if I see you in a neon green bridle, oh, I love it. Love to see it because it makes it easier to pick out if they are kind of in a herd of horses. But I'll color those little visual cues, like a shadow roll as well, kind of onto my program as they're warming up. Or if they come out in house silks, which I hate, I'll kind of change my colors and recolor my notes, which drives me insane. So those are the kind of preparations that I do. It's all visual for me, and then it kind of sticks in my brain from there.
So the message being, owners, make sure your silks get to the track, no house. So
or I'll shame you at the starting gate. I will say, you know, if anyone's in house silks, that gets mentioned as they go in the gate.
What do you do? And I talked with Jason about this on air a couple of weeks ago. What do you do with horses where the name is, you don't know how to pronounce it?
I hope that they've run before, and I go listen to what other announcers have done. Like, I mean, that horse Blome, thank goodness that Dave Rodman called her first, because I would definitely have called her something else.
Well, you would have gone viral for that one.
I'm not gonna lie, it's tempting every single time. There's a little voice inside me that is tempted by that every single time. But you do, for the horses with kind of a trickier name, the Google, if it's a language I don't know, I'll Google the pronunciation. If the horses run, I'll try to watch a replay. And if not, and I know the owners or the trainer, I'll text them and say, how do you want me to say this?
One of those challenges. We have a handful of horses running in Maryland now named Buckin' Great and Buckin' Lucky, and you just know that the owners are hoping to catch Rodman and trip him up.
The funniest one here at Parks is a horse named Bucks Thumb. And if you say it fast, so I, of course, can't resist making jokes about Buxom flattening out in the stretch. Like, I can't resist because of who I am as a person. I just, like, sometimes the low-hanging fruit is really just too tempting.
Well, you gotta have
She's
fun
running in the
job,
nightcap,
right?
On Saturday. Yeah, exactly.
We'll look forward to that. Make sure to watch the nightcap Saturday, see what Jess does with Buxom. So the last question, I'll let you go, but I did want to ask you this. You started announcing at Parks this year, kind of early days. You came in for a lot of criticism, some of which I think you would say was fair, and some of which was really kind of nasty and personal. Now you've been at it for most of a year. Talk about your journey as the track announcer at Parks and as, you know, really sort of a very visible woman in racing.
So I fully understand that, you know, I came out of the gate a little bit slow. I had called about 50 quarter horse races prior to doing this. So I understand it was, you know, an ambitious swing for the fences, but the folks at Parks have been very supportive. And I think they knew that they were hiring someone who was going to work and was going to be single focus, dedicated to getting better. And I hope people see that I have, you know, put in the work. I've taken the valid criticism from the places that it was coming from. You know, when people were offering legitimate criticism that, you know, wasn't personal, nasty, insulting, vulgar, violent on occasion.
Violent?
You know, certainly open. Oh, I've got, my DMs are a really colorful place.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Violence is, I mean, a lot of the stuff, even stuff one would see online was out of line, but violence.
It was a thousand times worse than some of the things that no one saw.
Wow.
And that is the nature of being a public-facing woman in the sport. I think, you know, and the better I do get, and I understand I still want to continue to improve. I hope a year from now, I hate the calls I'm making now that I love. You know, you want to get better with each race and do justice to the position. But there are some people that just don't like the sound of a woman's voice doing this, and that's also okay. But I just don't understand kind of what is so broken in a person that they feel the need to just be hateful for the sake of being hateful.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so It's been quite a thing. Do you feel like you're, what am I trying to ask you here? You just said you want to continue to get better, which I understand. Are you comfortable with the progress you've made to date?
I'm very proud of the way I have kind of learned to block out the noise and do the job. And there are, you know, when you call a race and it goes really well, it feels entirely different. And, you know, the more of those you get, the better you feel. I'm really happy with the progress I've made, and like, it's a step along the journey, and I want to continue to get better. You know, I don't want to be a novelty. I don't want to be a joke. I want to be one of the best at some point. And many of my peers have been doing this for 10, 20 years. So I have some catching up to do, but you know, onward we go.
That's it. You left at the gate a little bit, and then, you know, got to run on afterwards, right?
You know, I run marathons. I run marathons. Stamina is what I have going for me.
All right, Jessica Paquette, thanks so much for joining me here on Off to the Races. Pennsylvania Derby, Cotillion this afternoon, but really you want to stick around for the last race and hear her call Buck's thumb. Jess, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.